Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I want you to hear that when God calls, he calls us to preach good news. And the good news is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sinners saved by grace, that God is for us, and if he is for us, who can be against us? So it all started for me around about the age of 8, where I used to make up things in my own garden. I was a bit of a loner, and I used to make stories up. I was every single character in my own story, and I enjoyed my own company. At the age of 8, my grandfather died, and that impacted me. At the age of 11, my father died. That impacted me even greater. But what it did, it gave me a hard heart. I said to myself, I'm the man of the household, I will not cry, I need to get on. I started work at the age of 11 and I just got on with things. I'm dyslexic, I had no formal education of a kind because I couldn't understand things, I couldn't process things. And I thought I was good for nothing. I was the last. Have you ever been, there's a football team and two captains and they pick the team. I was never picked, I was rubbish in cricket, in hockey, in anything. I wasn't good at anything, but God had given me an imagination. And over the years, I won't go into my full testimony because I don't have time, but over the years, I ended up marrying Susan, and she went to church, and I thought, I'll check out this strange place to see what's happening. And I went along, and I heard a Yorkshireman preach the gospel, never heard the gospel in my life, didn't know that I needed to have a savior because I didn't know that I was a sinner. And I didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I didn't know that he shed his blood. But I heard it for the first time in my entire life at the age of 30. And I put my hand up as a response. And I went forward for prayer. And one of the elders prayed with me. And then the next week, they gave the same appeal. So I put my hand up again. I got saved 6 times. Because I didn't understand. I thought like the old lottery advert where a big finger would come out of the sky and go, it's you. I thought God would do something. I thought I'd feel something. I thought there'd be a change in my life. I thought that something radical would happen. It did, but not the way that I thought it was. So this man, Tim, he said to me, just receive it by faith. Just receive it by faith. And so I made a decision just to receive it by faith. And I started to read scripture and it started to make sense to me. I couldn't read very well naturally, but when I looked at the portion of scripture on the page, it just illuminated to me. I saw it. It was something that I'd never experienced before. I couldn't even read very well the Jack and Jill books. I would stutter, I would stammer. I could see it, but it wouldn't process for me. It'd be one long line, and I didn't understand what was happening. And nobody at the time had diagnosed dyslexia in me. It wasn't a widely used thing back in the 90s. Or was it the 60s? It wasn't. And I just fell through the net and I started to misbehave and I started to be one of those half a dailies, a likable rogue. I never got caught. That's the only thing. And yet when I look back at my life, God clearly had his hand on me. And at the age of 30, I gave my life to him and I said, Lord, use me. Because of my childhood, I guess God understood how I thought because he created me that way. I used to see things in pictures. I used to have poems in my mind. I used to have stories, but I couldn't write the stories down. They was all in here. And even now when it comes to ministering God's word, I can't write it down. It's just scripture. All I can do is say, Lord, what's in me? Bring it out. And I saw a vision. I heard a voice, whatever that means. There was something that happened in my heart, and this is what I felt the Lord say. He said, dress as if you're at the front and sit at the back, and I will call you forward. Now, I grew up in a very poor neighborhood. Everything was hand-me-downs apart from our school clothes, which we had new. And I knew within myself that meant if I ever represented God, ever represented his word, that I was to dress appropriately. And we was brought up to have Sunday best. And so we'd wear our Sunday best if we went to a wedding or a funeral. I never went to church, but if I had gone to church, I would have worn my Sunday best. So I went out and I brought a new three-piece suit, tie, silk shirt, the full outfit. And I went into church, and as you can imagine, it was a church very similar to this, but not as lovely. And they looked at me as if to go, what's happening? Are you going to a wedding? And I had to make a decision. Was I willing to be a fool for Christ? And there's a message in this, even though it's my testimony, are you willing to be a fool for Christ? Because obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. So I walked in and I simply said, I believe the Lord said, do this. And I started wearing this suit and I started sitting at the back where once I made a commitment to the Lord, I sat within spitting distance of the pastor. You know, I was like here. I was on the front row. And if I couldn't get the front row, it's the second row. I didn't want to miss anything. I wanted everything that God had to offer. And I wanted to hear it clearly. But I started to sit at the back. And then what happened over a period of time was that my pastor on a Wednesday evening meeting said, there's a group of us going to America. They believed that God had poured out his spirit in a way that we'd not experienced in that situation for a long time. And they was going as a group of pastors. There were six of them going over there. Now, I said to my pastor, I'd love to come. And he kind of made excuses and said, well, you can't because. But here's the thing. I made that statement, but I was afraid of flying. When I say afraid of flying, I was afraid of flying. I didn't like crowds. I used to have panic attacks. You go to London, I'd be up against the wall and Susan would have to take my hand and lead me. I know it's difficult to understand that, but my confidence is not in me, it's in the Lord. But at that time, I used to panic and I was afraid of flying. And plus, my wife was seriously ill at the time. She had ME in a serious way. I was carrying her upstairs, pushing her around in a wheelchair, and we had no money. So I made this statement, this glib statement, I'd love to go, yet I was afraid of flying. We had no money. My wife was seriously ill. And over a period of time, one of the pastor's wives was woken up at 3 a.m, and she woke her husband and said, Ken, the Lord has just spoke to me and said, I'm not to go. There's someone else. I want to be there. So she cancelled her seat. And the long story short, I was asked to go. God provided the finances. Susan released me. And I ended up in America. And I took my suit with me. And on the Wednesday, we decided we were going to go and tour around Pensacola. And we would come into the evening meeting late because we were queuing up at 7:30 a.m. to get into the 6:30 meeting because there was tens of thousands of people waiting to get into a 2,500-seater auditorium. And so we decided we was going to go into the overflow. And just before we was about to leave on a baking hot day where shorts would have been too much, the Lord spoke to me and said, wear your suit. And so as I put my suit on and my pastor looked at me sideways, all I could say is, God said, am I willing to be a fool for Christ? Are you willing to be a fool for Christ? Is God speaking to you? Does it seem like foolishness? Because that certainly did to me. That I'm in a country wearing a suit and it's baking hot. And we got to the entrance of the steps in Brownsville, Pensacola, and you had to walk up the steps. And as we started to walk up the steps, my pastor realized that, hey, we're late, we need to find the overflow. We turned around to walk down again to find the overflow when a man said, excuse me, sir, I have room for you. There are still seats. So we followed the usher. And if you can picture the scene, because it's like it happened yesterday, and it was in 1994, that we walked into this auditorium, and I'm facing the stage, and behind me is a balcony with stone staircase. And we walked up the stone staircase, and we started to sit in the back row. There was a pastor, there was a pastor, there was a pastor, there was a pastor, and then there was me. And I sat just by the aisle, and didn't think nothing of it. And suddenly we started to worship. And a usher came to me and said, sir, I have a seat for you at the front. Now bear in mind, I have a very poor memory. So I might just call you sir or madam because I can't remember your name. I wouldn't move out of my seat because I was afraid of crowds. I was starting to panic. And my pastor says, okay, I'll come. So he took my hand almost and we led us down and we thought we was going to sit down on the seats at the front of the auditorium where they were fold up seats so at the time of ministry they could clear the space. But he went to the side of the stage and he opened the side of the stage and he ushered five of us in. And it still didn't dawn on me. I sat there and I'm looking out at 2,500 people minus us. We're on the stage. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is all this about? And then they started to strike up. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I had to ring Susan to say, did God really say, wear a suit, dress as if you're at the front and I'll call you to the back? And she said, yes. I said, are you sure? You wore it for 3 months at church or however long it was. Because I didn't believe that God had done all of that to get me on a stage, to call me into the ministry. So why Isaiah 61? That's why. So for me, I'm passionate about it. But what I've realized over the 12 years that I've been privileged to be in ministry is that not everybody sees what I see. Because I have this certain mind, I have a way of seeing things through pictures. And they're so simple, I assume that everybody knows them. I'm assuming that 2 and 2 is always been 4. But sometimes people see 2 and 2 as 3 and 1. But it's still 4, but they're seeing it differently. Does that make sense? And so when I look at this portion of scripture, and when I was called into church ministry, it was Jamie and Desiree Pennington, and they encouraged me to say, Andrew, you've been called. And there was a gathering of people, and they invited me to be their pastor. I didn't plant a church. God never called me to plant a church. He called me to preach the gospel, the good news. And when we read through this portion of scripture, I hope you see what I see. I hope we can just lay this one to rest and say, this is who we are. This is the identity. This is what you've sown into. It's the fullness of God's goodness to us. And I want to hopefully articulate it in a way slightly different that you'll get it. That you can go, yes, I understand it. Because one of the things that has been given to me over the years is this. I won't see someone for 3 months and they'll say, I don't think we're fulfilling Isaiah 61, so I'm staying at home. I don't think we'd... And so for me, this is serious stuff. Because when you're not here, you're missed. You might not think that you missed, but listen, if I get through all this, this is a great illustration. Thank you, Stephen, for this. If one piece is missing, we can't fulfill the picture, can we? So you're all part of God's jigsaw puzzle here in Grace. So let me try, in the 3.5 hours that we have, just to articulate this. Now, we start at 11, we finish at 12:30. I will do my best to honor that. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Who are the poor? I'm glad you asked. They are those that have not heard the good news. So if you've never, like me at the age of 30, heard the good news, that's what God's called us to do. Not just me, but you. Why? Because you're part of the picture. Because it's not what I do. It's not what the leadership does in church. It's what we do as the body. And I want you to see that it's not me, it's us. It's not them, it's us. It's us, it's us. And it's all those that are connected to God's wider body in the church. We're all part of Isaiah 61. Jesus said himself, didn't he? When he was unrolling the scroll of Isaiah and he quoted that verse. And he said, this has been fulfilled right here, right now, through me, in your hearing. Go, do likewise. It's a message for all of us. He said, to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom to the captives, the release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When we look at the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, basically in the year of Jubilee, wouldn't it be great? Oh, I'd love to live in that year now. My mortgage would be canceled. Is that not good news? What would happen is, if you owed money to someone on the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, that debt would be cancelled. That would be cancelled. So everything you owe would be cancelled. So now take that natural thing and now let's put it into a spiritual context. Jesus is saying here, right now, through us, that you have a debt. We need to pay that debt of our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from me, but this is the day of the favor of the Lord. How do I know that? Because he says, as long as it's called today, today is the day of salvation. So we have an opportunity to proclaim freedom, to say today your debt can be paid. It can be written off. This is the day of the Lord's favor. When you hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, on one hand, we can say that we are sinners deserving of God's wrath. But if we accept Christ Jesus as our Savior, he pays our debt for us. It's a day of God's favor. So Have you ever shared good news with someone else? Have you ever met with someone over coffee or pizza or an Indian or Chinese or a mixed grill and said, listen, God loves you? Have you ever spoken to someone and said, God loves you? That if God is for you, who can be against you? Have you ever phoned up another Christian who's struggling and saying, listen, you may be in darkness, but though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says he's going to lead you through. Have you ever done that? Well, that's Isaiah 61. You've been part of that. That's Isaiah 61. You've done it right there. Molly, when you pick someone up and you bring them into church, that's Isaiah 61. When we see a fellow Christian struggling and we say, listen, let me take an arm and lift it up because the battle belongs to the Lord. That's Isaiah 61. When you phone someone up or when someone phones you up, I know over the years, sorry, Sarah, but it seems to be youth, you're a magnet to them and you're like an agony arm, a therapist. That's Isaiah 61. When you give of your finances to someone, say, I'll pay for that. That's Isaiah 61. When you go and help someone move house, like we are next week, that's Isaiah 61. So often we don't see the obvious because we think it's some big, super spiritual thing, but it's not. It's just the simplicity of many pieces coming together. And there's an opportunity to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness of the prisons. We live in a dark time. There are people captivated and captive, made captive by their thoughts. The mind of the righteous is blessed, but that can be a dark place for some people. As a man thinks, so he is. And sometimes people are told all their life that they're useless, they're worthless, they'll never amount to anything. My teacher said to me, Andrew, if he was a Christian and he was a bit pious, he'd probably say, thus saith the Lord, Andrew, you will be one of two people, either a millionaire or in prison. Thus saith the Lord. But he didn't, because he wasn't. And he just said, you won't amount to anything because you have no education. You will be in prison or you'll be a millionaire. Well, who owns everything? The Lord does. Who am I? I'm his child. So what's my inheritance? Everything. So what am I? A millionaire. A multi. So I guess his prophecy came to pass. But if I'd have been an individual, which I was at the time where I took that heaviness on me, I would have been locked in darkness, yeah? Have you ever had those words spoken over you? You will never amount to anything. Well, I'm here to say that we're part of Isaiah 61. So if you know someone who lives like that, speak light into their lives. Just speak God's word. That's you becoming Isaiah 61. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and interceded for someone else? Whether it's at home, in the car, in the workplace, or in the classrooms on the Tuesday. Have you ever prayed for someone else? Yes? Have you? Yeah? You have? That's Isaiah 61. That is Isaiah 61. You are praying that God release them, that God shine their light of jubilee upon them, that they receive salvation, healing for their bodies, their minds. That is Isaiah 61, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of the vengeance of our God. There is a downside to the faith that we have, that we have a choice to accept or reject. So we can say, yeah, okay, you've paid my debt, but I don't want it. I don't want to be free. I want to stay locked up in my darkness. I want to stay in that heaviness. I want to stay knowing that I'm hell-bound. Thank you, but no thanks. That's the truth of the word too. There is a day of vengeance. There is a day of accounting, a day of reckoning. But it goes on. He says that we will comfort all who mourn. Has any of you mourned? Have any of you lost a loved one? Or even a pet? Because if you have a pet, the pet's a member of the family, it's close to you. Have you lost a relative or someone close? Have you mourned? Has anyone in church life, not just this church, but in church life, given you comfort? Have you given someone else comfort? That's Isaiah 61. Many of you will know Chris Payne's story. Chris struggled with alcohol and alcoholism from the age of 8. He kept it hidden for many years from everyone other than his close family. And when he came into church and God got hold of him afresh, he asked for help. He asked for help. Here's a man that if anyone needed Isaiah 61, he did. He was a prisoner to his addiction. He died suffering from that addiction. But he died knowing that he was loved and that he was cared for, that he knew that God was in control. So when Chrissy and Glyn would turn up day after day after day after day after day after day after day. Is that not Isaiah 61? And one of the problems in church life is that we don't stand from the front, or I certainly don't, and go, this is what I've done today, this is what we've done today. No, we keep it between us and the Lord. But I'm saying it and articulating it in a way because I want us to be set free from this once and for all. I want us to know that that ministry that God's called us to is Isaiah 61 and it is being fulfilled. It is starting to work out and you are part of it. Because everything you do, we do unto the Lord. Every small act of kindness is an act of kindness which fulfills Isaiah 61. So when we comfort those who mourn, and we provide for those that grieve in Zion, we bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. There are many people who, when they are faced with bereavement, they are in a pile and they are grieving heavily. We as Christians, we grieve, yes, but we also rejoice, especially if our loved one has gone to be with the Lord. And if they've not gone to be with the Lord, God will give us strength. Isaiah 61 is all of that and more. Instead of mourning, he gives us a garment of praise. Instead of the spirit of despair. And there is a time that during our lives we will have a season of despair, but not a spirit of despair. Have you ever witnessed to someone else that's going through bereavement? One of the blessings for me is that I've lost so many, not that I've lost people in my life, but I've been around bereavement, that God has given me a heart for people. I can cry with those that cry. I can mourn with those that mourn. I can laugh with those that laugh. That's Isaiah 61. Have you ever sat with someone else who's going through that despair and there's a spirit upon them, a spirit of despair, and you can come in and speak light and life? That's Isaiah 61. That's you. That's not just a platform ministry. Have you ever just walked up and picked up a microphone and just started to sing and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you? That's Isaiah 61. Have you ever picked up something off the floor and say, excuse me, is this yours? It's showing kindness to someone else. Isaiah 61, it's the simplicity of God's word. Have you ever been, or if you're in this church today and you don't... You've only just started attending church or you have a ministry. I know there's people who have ministries that God has called them to. And yet they choose to come and fellowship with us on a Sunday so that they can take, so that they can give. That's Isaiah 61. So often in church life, it's either you do it my way or you don't do it anyway. You either commit to this and you pay a full tithe and you turn up every single week and you go to all the meetings during the week or else you're not a member. That's not Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is where we are free to serve God because we want to serve him. And you want to be here because God's called you to be here, to be part of his body and expression here. But if you've come for the weekend and then you go and you serve other people during the week, that's Isaiah 61. There's a freedom in that. Am I making sense yet? Is there some of this making sense to us that the whole vision is not what God's called me to, is what he's called his church to? This vision statement here is the vision statement of Christ. He could almost go, this is who I am. And it's fulfilled here in your hearing. I have come to preach good news. I've come to bind up. I've come to set captives free. That's his vision statement. And that's our vision statement too. Why? Because we're Christ-like. We're disciplined of him. His disciples are those that are disciplined of Christ. And that's what happens to me and you. It says, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is only the first scripture, by the way. I'm not fibbing. Look, there's a few more. It says this, they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, not for the display of my splendor. So God doesn't give us a platform, does he? He doesn't say, listen, Andrew, I've given you a platform so you can be the display of splendor. No, he says, I've given you these gifts for my splendor so that I can shine through you. That's Isaiah 61. What God is doing in you is Isaiah 61. When he asks you to care for your family, so often in church life, we detach our own family from God's family, church, Christian, non-Christian. But if you have a non-Christian partner, wife, husband, family member, and you serve them, what are you doing? You're serving them, Isaiah 61. They're the poor. And sometimes when we go, I can't come to church this weekend because my family member is ill and I cared for them. I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? That's Isaiah 61. There's a freedom in the message, but we don't see it so often. We think there has to be something so big. That is obvious. Well, this is obvious. It is so big. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. There's a rebuilding work that God is doing in us and through us. And just to bring one or two scriptures in, it says this in John 21:15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And it goes on to say, feed my lambs. Have you ever taken care of a young Christian and said, listen, I've been where you are. This is what the Lord gave me to help me through my journey. You're feeding them. What is it? That's Isaiah 61. So Isaiah 61 in Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous turned to him and said, when did we do this, Lord? And he said, whenever you've done that to someone else, then you've done it to me. That's Isaiah 61. So when you've shown good, because it's good to do good, that's Isaiah 61. So you are part of the mission statement. You are the mission statement. It's who we are as church. When we've gone to do things to help others, when we stand with people in their crisis time, when we become their advocate and speak on their behalf because they can't speak, that's Isaiah 61. When you give of your tithe and your offering so that someone like me can do something like I've just said, that's Isaiah 61. When you see someone else struggling and you go alongside them, that's Isaiah 61. When you love your husband or your wife with God's love, that's Isaiah 61. It's simple, isn't it? And I think it's so simple that we can miss it. When you go to work and there's that man or that woman that really irritates you, and you go, God, can't I just thump them? Or is that just me? Sorry, that's why you need to pray for your pastor. Tom's laughing because Tom's been there. Can I not just thump them, Lord, and then pray for them afterwards? Ask for forgiveness. When the Bible says fight, that's not the kind of fight it's talking about. But when you restrain yourself from that, that's Isaiah 61, you're showing the love of God. We're in the world, but not of the world. Moving on. In Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner, Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another. And as you bear in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to be in unity with people. When we do that, what is it? It's Isaiah 61. When you ring up someone who says, I don't believe that God is real anymore, and you comfort them, and you say, listen, I know that God's doing a work in your life. That's Isaiah 61. When you are woken up in the early hours of the morning with a song or a hymn or a prayer, and you say, you text someone and say, I believe the Lord is saying. That's Isaiah 61. It's so simple, isn't it? That's Isaiah 61. That's the fullness of the gospel. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. So there's one picture, but there's many parts as Christ has given us. He's given you a job to do. That's Isaiah 61. I just want to reiterate to us as a church, as a body, here in Downham Market or Stourbridge, that this is a safe place to be, but it's a place where we'll be challenged, encouraged, corrected and directed. Can I ask a question? You only need one answer if one person to say yes or no. Over the years that you've been coming here, have you ever heard the gospel preached? Well, that's Isaiah 61. That's Isaiah 61. We're fulfilling it. The Spirit gives life, as in John 6, 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and of life. So when we speak of the good news of God, yes, we know we're sinners, but we know we're saved by grace. The good news is we have a Savior. When we speak the good news, it brings life. Has anyone ever heard the good news when they've been in church? Has anyone ever ministered the good news to someone else? That's Isaiah 61. It's simple, isn't it? If only my teacher had taught me this way. It's simples. I couldn't grasp fractions. I couldn't get them. I couldn't get fractions. And I was home from school one day watching, as you do, Open University. That's this young dyslexic man who couldn't understand anything. But this guy, this mad professor, and he had the haircut to go with it. It was just one of them things of the day. Hair was like he'd put his fingers into a light bulb. And he said, pi. And he drew a circle. This is like, for you guys, you're going, yeah, and? But to me, it was like, oh, that's one. And then he drew a line, and he went, two halves. And I'm getting excited, even now. And he drew a line across it and going, they're four quarters. So one quarter is one fourth of the whole. And then he went on to 16ths and eighths. And suddenly, I got it. I got it. And sometimes in life, I read scripture and I get it. But when I speak it, some of you don't get it. Because I don't make it hard enough. Because I have to make things simple so I understand them. But that's Isaiah 61. When we share the whole and say we're one family, we're one body, and you're just part of it. It's Isaiah 61. When we bring the Spirit of God, we're going to bring life. And the Bible says life in all its fullness. In John, oh my goodness, John 13, if we can invite our worship team up. John 13, 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Right, is there anyone here that loves me? That's Isaiah 61. See, we're already living it. And if the opposite to love is hate, then pray. But when we start to love each other, and that's not that love going down the beach, is it, where you kind of just embrace. It's that love that's patient, love is kind, slow to anger, keeps no record of wrongs. That kind of love that when we make mistakes, they don't always leave us in that mistake. They help us out. That's Isaiah 61 in Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? I'm glad you asked. To equip his people for works of service. So when God called me that day, when he had me sit on that stage in my three-piece suit, when he called me to the front and when he started to sing over me Isaiah 61, it's so that I can do this, so that I can equip you for works of service. That's Isaiah 61. There's much more that I want to share, but I'm not going to because of time, and I want to be honourable. In Judges 6:13, it's a story of Gideon. And Gideon says this, and over the years I've said this, pardon me, Lord. Gideon, Andrew replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why is all this mess going on? What happened is the Lord started to sift, and he started to say, listen, if you don't want to fight, if you're afraid, then leave. It's okay. He started to sift. And there was a few hundred people who said, I'm here. And I'm here because I'm standing on the Lord's side. And Gideon and those few men routed tens of thousands. Why? Because God was with them. When we say to people, when I say to you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's Isaiah 61. When I say to you, listen, though you walk through the valley, God's going to walk with you. Don't stay there. That's Isaiah 61. When you are encouraged by worship and word, when you are encouraged to go and encourage someone else, that's Isaiah 61. I'm sorry that I can't finish this message because of time, but I hope you get the gist. Father, I thank you that we are your body, one body made up of many pieces. Thank you that we are fulfilling the vision that you've given us in Isaiah 61. Strengthen us, encourage us, that we may be all that you've called us to be, individually and corporately, salt and light, revelation to the world around us, that we may preach good news in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. Amen.
The world is full everywhere you look these days of this word mindfulness, the word mindfulness. And I think it's something which actually is taught in the Bible, and that we need to be mindful. So I feel that Andrew's message today is so important to us. Let's go out in the world and be mindful of the fact that when we give a glass of water, we're giving it to Jesus, and we're giving it for Jesus, and we become, for that person, Christ in the world. And so we need to be mindful of that, and in order, and in our mindfulness, we become listening. And we can't do these things if we're not listening. And so I just want to encourage you this week, make it your mission to be mindful of the people around you and of what God might be saying to you for them. And there's a testimony that is going to be shared now, which will almost certainly mean I can't sing the last song. So I'm going to call Sarah forward to share this testimony of something that happened this week where somebody, a child of God, was listening to what the Father was saying.
I was really challenged by Andrew's sermon and by Clive at the back. Thanks, Clive. That I needed to bring this to you because they said that they were really encouraged by it. And I was massively encouraged by it, and so was Jackie. So I thought I'd tell you. You probably all know that I'm a teacher, and I had parents' evening on Tuesday night, and I had someone shout at me, and it was really horrible. And I was feeling quite down in the dumps on Wednesday, but thankfully it was my planning time, which is time that teachers have outside of the classroom to prepare our lessons. So I was really relieved not to be teaching a whole day. So I'm upstairs, and I can just hear this music, but I didn't really think anything of it. We've got builders in our school. I just carried on doing my planning, and then suddenly I realised that the music I was listening to was that song that we sing here, Oceans. Hang on a minute. Mine isn't a church school, and there's Christian music blaring out in my school. So I went downstairs to see who it was, because I actually wanted to say thank you, because it was such a blessing and I really needed it. But there was nobody there, but it was obvious that it was coming from the builder's radio. So I thought, well, I'll go back again and say thank you. And about 10 minutes later, the builder came upstairs and started off saying, look, you might think this is a bit strange, but I don't know if you can hear the music downstairs. Well, it's actually Christian music, and I'm a Christian, and that means I love Jesus. And I said, stop you there. Me too. So do I. I actually came downstairs to say thank you, for your music, because I was having a bad day and it's totally uplifted at me. And he said, no, that's not why I came. And I said, okay, I would just like to highlight, I was being really dim at this point. He said to me, God told me to come upstairs and see who's upstairs because I have to pray with you for healing for a wrist. Is your wrist okay? Like, you don't have carpal tunnel syndrome or anything. So I, being very dim, said, no, it's fine, thank you ever so much. Probably for a friend or something, but I really can't think who. Duh. So anyway, we carried on talking about the music, and I thanked him for the music, and he asked me what I listened to, and I asked him what radio station it was. And then I told him what I was listening to on my phone, Christian music-wise, at the moment. And I said, oh, well, I'm listening to this album called Breakthrough. It's actually quite a funny story. I'd never heard of this album. One of my best friends, who is not a Christian, who actually is an ex-Christian, told me to listen to this album. And then I realised my friend, who is an ex-Christian, is Dave, Jackie's son, who is having major wrist pain. And who has told me outright that if God heals his wrist, Phil, can you let Hattie in? If God heals his wrist, then he's coming back and he's being our worship pastor at this church. He's told me that. I know God can do that, but I suddenly realised...
He hasn't told me that.
I know he hasn't told you that, Jackie. And he is scared, and he's scared of giving you false hope, and he's scared that it might be true, and he's scared that it might not be true. But he definitely doesn't believe in God, don't you know, as he's always telling me. I don't believe in God, Sarah, but I need you to listen to this piece of Christian music, and I need you to bring it to the church. I don't believe in God, by the way. Are the conversations I have quite regularly with Dave, and I suddenly realised that that's why this guy has been told to come and pray with me, to pray for healing of a wrist. So we said, okay, we're going to start praying. And he said to me, so where do you go to church? And I said, oh, you won't have heard of it. I work on the other side of Wisbeach. I said, it's about 45 minutes away. It's in this little market town called Downham Market. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, it's called Grace Community Church. His words are, no way, Andrew Wiles Church. I said, yes, how do you know Andrew Wiles Church? And he said, like, Jackie and AJ? And I said, yes, their son's the guy we're going to pray for. And he said, I've been to your church a couple of weeks ago. I said, you're kidding me. He said, I preached there. It was Rick. So God told Rick to tell me to pray for the healing of Dave's wrist. So I'm coming to ask you all to pray for the healing of Dave's wrist.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.